ever sat back and thought, man, those military spouses haven't made military discount, traveling the world, always meeting new people? Girl, listen, it is not what it seems. So here on this podcast, we'll be talking about all the highs and lows of being a military spouse, what it takes to be strong, how we made it through certain situations, and definitely our funniest experiences. So get ready for this lovely journey we call life as a military spouse. Buckle up, enjoy the ride, grab your glass of wine, and please subscribe. Hey guys, we are back with part three. I am here with my temporary, long-term, short-term.
Temporary?
Well, because you said you weren't going to really be on the show like that.
I mean, it's your show.
So. I mean, but yeah, but that's why it's temporary. But then long-term, because you live here. Okay. And you're married to me. Yeah. Anyway, Andrew's here, y'all.
I'm here.
Happy early Father's Day. I've been saying happy Father's Day. For weeks now, because I stay thinking Father's Day is a day. Anyway, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
So we left off with you proposing to me, and now we're going to get into marriage the first year, and then what all came with the first year of marriage.
Yeah.
Wow, we've been married for 5 years? 5 years! That's half a decade.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it is.
A half decade, you know?
Yeah.
Sheesh. Okay, anyway. What was I saying? Oh. The marriage.
Yeah.
Do you want to start or you want me to start?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay. So, he proposed to me Thanksgiving, and we got married at the courthouse in January, right? So,
surprise wedding.
Surprise! So, we got married then. But we still wanted to plan, like, a big wedding for the family and stuff like
Translation.
That.
Translation. Liz wanted to plan a big wedding.
Listen. No. Because if my memory serves me correctly, yes, I mean, I did want to plan a big wedding. It's a wedding. Duh. Every person dreams of their wedding. Mm-hmm. But.
Every.
Yes.
Every person.
Anywho, if my memory serves me correctly, we only told our immediate family, so like our parents, we told, and we did not tell other family members that we were getting married. So I want to say it was either your mom or your dad when they came down to visit after we got married, that they were like, so what are y'all going to do for everybody else? And I think my mom said it too. And we're like, dang, we ain't got no money like that. But then we thought about it. And we did have engagement party money. We had the engagement party. We got married in January at the courthouse. Then we had an engagement party in July.
They're going to curse you. They're going to find out.
I know. They're going to find you. Thank y'all. I love my family. I really do. I just want y'all to know that that money went towards the wedding that you attended. All that money and those gifts that you guys gave us, it went to the actual wedding that you attended. So thanks. And then we used that money, however, to just, you know, live off of. So totally fine. Thanks, guys. But then... Marriage, the actual wedding ceremony was September 20th. So we do celebrate both the Januarys and Septembers. And do you remember how we broke up? Who does what?
Yeah, I do the first one. I do the real one.
You do? Yes, you can. So, Andrew is in charge of planning festivities or, buying gifts for the January wedding anniversary, and I'm in charge for the September wedding anniversary. And I think so far it's been good, right? We've been having some good times. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've been having a great time for that. But anyway, so then we, from that January date, we were living in the apartment. I started working full time. And I think it was just like us being on the hunt. Well, me being on the hunt for a venue and all those things, and, me being frugal. I was trying to get the best deal that we could get. And I felt at the time that Andrew really wasn't involved, like he didn't want to be involved. Like it seemed to me that you were like, ugh, Liz, it's not even that serious. Like,
Yo, we were
calm it
already
down.
together. It's like, yo.
Let me tell y'all a little bit about my husband, guys. Let me just fill y'all in. Andrew acts like he doesn't like the hoopla of planning the event and having such a big commotion about it.
I don't like. Act that way because I don't.
He acts like he's not like excited about it, but in fact he is dumb excited because whenever, say for example, Christmas, I hype up Christmas. I am Mother Christmas, okay? I make sure that the house smells like Christmas. We play. What are you whispering
What?
for?
What?
I can't stand you.
What you mean?
Give me my mic back. I make sure the house smells good. We're playing Christmas music. We're getting in the spirit. And then he's kind of just like, listen,
Yo,
it
she
don't even
start playing
matter.
Christmas music dumb early.
You gotta get ready. Get ready, get ready, get
Thanksgiving dinner not even digested.
Bro.
Jingle bells, like yo, please,
No.
can I live?
He feels that Thanksgiving is like the middle child, and since he's a middle child, he feels like he can. What'd you say? You could you what was what did How did you explain it to me? You're saying
I forget the analogy
you're
that
like it's like the middle child, overlooked, something something, taken for granted. No. He really has a tough time. Like, there was a rule. There is a rule. The rule is still in play.
Yes.
I am not allowed to play Christmas music with him around until the next day or after dinner for Thanksgiving.
The next
The
day,
next
ain't
day,
no after
Black
dinner. It's
Friday.
still Thanksgiving.
That's when I can play
Give
Christmas music.
Thanksgiving the respect it's due. You better have me going off. We supposed to be talking about marriage.
I'm
You know
sorry.
what? It's so funny because I was like, yo, there's no such thing as Thanksgiving music, right? So I'll be looking for stuff. And I thank God for Shirley Caesar. I got beans, greens, potatoes, man. I play the mess out of that little meme.
That joint be on repeat, dog. I'm like, yo,
Be
what is
bumping
going
it. You name.
I wish you guys could see this man. He just really would be walking around the house. I'm like, your name. Even Dylan
I
got
get
into
so
it.
hype. I get so hype for some Thanksgiving.
Even Dylan was screaming, you name it. And I was like, oh, God.
That's one thing I get hype for. I get hype for Thanksgiving. All right, so I think you was talking about me loving the hoopla, which I don't.
So he acts like the big festivities are uncalled for when in fact we are here to celebrate ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, how often nowadays, well, I can't say nowadays, but like,
In recent times, how many weddings have you been to when it's two young black people, two young people, period, they're getting married because they want to get married to each other? How many weddings have you been to? I can tell you, I've never been to one.
You ain't been
invited? No. I've been to maybe two weddings.
You ain't been invited to a wedding?
Well, my people don't get married. So that's that.
Yeah.
They have situationships.
Situationships.
They have, you know, baby daddy, baby mama's chips. But there's not a lot of marriages. So, of course, that's something that you want to make big. Like, you want to make this something. This is the hoopla.
Yeah.
We're getting married because we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're in great positions in our lives right now.
Right.
Or at that time.
Right.
Like, why not celebrate us and our love?
And that's all cool. I think what you always fail to remember about me is that, yes, I get excited, right?
See?
Told you. No, I don't get excited 6 months before it's supposed to happen.
So you got to understand, though, like, planning a wedding is not just like a weekend thing. It was a lot of work because you have to locate a venue. You have to make sure. And we're not from, we got married in a state that we are not from.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in a town away from the place that we even lived when we lived in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do the research. I had to go down there. I had to see. I mean,
and that's all cool, but that's all work.
That is all work, but so that's something that I was excited to do. You're supposed to be excited about that? Yes. Because if you think about it like this.
No,
because
we could have got married in the town that we were at.
Who was going to come to that town?
Hey.
I didn't even want to be in that dang old town. Hey,
so then it was our decision to make it harder on ourselves.
It was not harder on ourselves. It was our decision to make this weekend something memorable.
You see, it was supposed to be a day, and she made it into a weekend.
A whole weekend, because none of our family lived in that state. So you going to have one family member just fly in for the day and then fly out? No. You're going to plan on a weekend. And I keep getting, I promise you, I still get told, that was the best weekend I've ever had. That was the best weekend we've shared in a long time.
I swear that, I mean, you live off of that.
I do, because I like the fact that I was able to plan something and end it with something so great. This was a great event.
Great.
Anyway, first year of marriage was hard, as you can see right now. Okay? First year of marriage, we're going to just jump into it. I mean, of course, you have the honeymoon phase, but because we had the honeymoon phase in January down to the actual wedding, I think after we came back, the wedding was great. I think we went to work for a week and then we went off to
mm-hmm.
our honeymoon. And that...
On the boat.
Looking
good. Looking like some young tenderoni.
We were so tender. Oh, man.
Man.
Now we're tenderized. We're so soft and squishy now.
Man.
Andrew was getting ready for his first physique show.
No, that was the second one.
No, that was the first one. The second one was when I was big pregnant with Dylan.
Oh.
In Houston.
Yeah, I was in like December or something, mm-hmm. wasn't it?
You did a show in October.
Yeah.
And I was over here eating the world of ice cream. Bro, I don't know what kind of ice cream the cruise ship had, whatever it was. First thing I wake up, I get that ice cream. I wake up in the middle of the night, I get the ice cream. Mm. And I knew which machine did it the best.
Oh my goodness.
I know, it was bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I literally would make sure, and sometimes you get kind of like turned around on the boat, but I would make sure I went to that same machine. Like, I would look for it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, this is so bad.
Did you scrape your initials into the air?
No, but
it's mine right
this
here.
Is my it's machine mine. And I remember one time they were like fixing the machine because it was broken, and I was so devastated. I was like, oh my God, like, what am I gonna do now?
Mm-mm-mm. and I'm over here walking
this man
miles.
I barely saw him.
Miles on the ship.
I barely saw my husband. There was times that I was like eating by myself.
No relaxing.
And you know I don't eat by myself, guys. So I was eating by myself, and someone asked me like, "Oh, like, are you okay?" Because I kind of was just like, I can't be on my phone because there's no phone. And I was kind of just sitting there, and I was like scraping the food around the plate. And this, I think it was a lady that worked on the ship or a lady that was just there, like on vacation. And she was like, oh man, like I really like your bathing suit. It's really cute. Are you okay? Like, you know, trying to spark up like some small talk with me. And I was just like, yeah.
We were definitely some ship rookies.
I can't find my husband. We didn't have
walkie-talkies. We didn't have no walkie-talkie.
Future reference, y'all. If y'all are going on a cruise anytime soon, I won't be going on a cruise anytime soon until the Rona comes all the way down and disappears like SARS did. But bring you some long-range walkie-talkies, okay? Because when I tell you the only time, I think I bumped into you a couple times, I was like, hey! Stranger.
Yeah, I mean, it was we had to plan it like, yo, I'm about to go to the whatever.
You were
deck.
Doing the gym, the Lido deck.
The Lido deck, the gym. I was on the treadmill because
this
I was
man
trying
was
to
like,
lose some weight.
This man was doing workouts. What was it? Sunrise. Like the way the gym was set up was beautiful because you could see the sunrise from that panoramic window, right? So he's up there, butt crack of dawn, walking on the treadmill, doing the most. I'm in the bed
doing
sleep.
The most, no, doing enough.
Anyway, that was fine. Get walkie-talkies, long and short. Okay, cool. Moving on. we come back. And what was it? November, I find out I'm pregnant. Like, got no time.
No time.
None.
You took the picture, and you make it Facebook official, and then all of a sudden she's like 8 months pregnant.
For real, like it was like, whoa. Okay, that was fast. And then remember your Aunt Joanne? All right, so we drive up to Kansas City for Thanksgiving, and Andrew could not want, this is what I'm talking about, he's very excited. He could not hold it in. We had a plan that we were going to tell everyone after
Day
Thanksgiving.
After
Thanksgiving dinner, we were going to tell everyone at the same time because some people weren't there yet. Whatever. So I'm eating, and mind you, I'm like eating with the kids because like all the grown-ups took the big table chairs or whatever. So I'm eating, and Andrew's like, something sympathy pains, because I got sympathy pains. And I just kept my head down, and I was like, here he go.
Early with the dad jokes.
Early. That was even a funny one. And he like looked at me like,
she couldn't even hear it.
I heard exactly it.
She heard exactly it, but she wasn't laughing.
Because
she
it wasn't
loves
funny.
Dad jokes.
Now I do.
She loves dad jokes.
What do you call? Oh man, what is it now?
And then she comes over to get them right. She don't get them right.
What do you call a spaghetti that stands on the street corner?
Spaghetti that stands on the street corner. I don't know.
A prostitute.
Oh my goodness. That's bad. Hey, you love it. Oh man.
Anyway, so jumping back in. He couldn't hold it. So then all of a sudden, mind you, we told my mom, because I sent my mom a birthday card because her birthday is Thanksgiving sometimes, depending on what day it falls on. I mean, day of the month it falls on. Calendar day, the date. The date it falls on, because it's always going to be a Thursday. But sometimes her birthday is on Thanksgiving. But anyway, so I sent her a card, and it had a picture of this sonogram, right? The ultrasound picture. And I told her to open it while we were driving up. I had to make sure that she would get it by Thanksgiving, because that was her actual birthday. And she opened it up and she started screaming and all of their stuff. And it was a good time. Get up to Kansas City and he can't hold his excitement in. He tells everyone. And then his aunt Joanne was like, I knew you were pregnant from when I first saw you in your wedding dress. And I looked at her and I was like, no, I'm just fat. We just found out. I am literally 8 weeks pregnant. She's like, I knew it. I could just tell. I could. And everyone was like, shh, stop. Stop. No, she wasn't pregnant then.
Little did we know. It's about the water. Like, you retain water. Like,
I do retain water. Call me a sponge, baby. But anyway, we're pregnant. It was wild. He had, like, zero compassion. Zero. It was a point where I was like, can you just help me?
I think I had the right amount of
compassion. No, because remember when I was trying to put my shoes on the stairs? And you were like, just hurry up and put your shoes on. I was like, I can't. You're like, what are you crying for? Uh-huh.
Baby, how many weeks pregnant were you?
A lot.
Oh, you don't remember?
How many weeks?
Baby, when I tell you, when you got for real pregnant, not the, you know, the baby bump pregnant, right? I was helping you. I was doing all that. I was there.
Okay, so then, you know, I'm big pregnant. We're getting ready to have the baby. I can tell you this. I was so upset. Like, I had this conversation with, I can't remember who, I think it was Siobhan, our neighbor. I had this conversation with her either via Facebook or something like that, that like I would hate to be at the OBGYN appointment by myself because I didn't want to look like a single mom. Remember those conversations? I used to be so mad at Andrew. Like, you're late. Where are you? Or if he couldn't come, I'd be so mad. What the?
Just that irrational anger.
It's like, not irrational. It's all those stigmas of being a black female.
Yeah, but you wasn't. Like, you wasn't alone. You wasn't.
I know that now, but then when you see people looking at you like, oh, you but like immediately because you have that discriminatory, preconceived notion that's put on you by somebody else of a different color makes you already feel less than. So when you are by yourself, no matter if it's you running late or like, you know, you had a meeting, you couldn't come or whatever it was, I always felt that eyes were on me because I was sitting there pregnant by myself. And that was depicted as, you know, black people never can. Or black woman can never. You get what I'm saying? Angry black woman, da 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 da. So I always felt some type of way. And then my OBGYN, she was not the best. Homegirl told me, if I don't have this baby on this day, she can't deliver him because she has a tennis match in Dallas that weekend. And then proceeded, because I think I went over, what, 2 weeks with Dylan? I was 42 and some change with Dylan. She marked me at high risk, didn't tell me. And I said, well, why am I high risk? I'm really healthy. My blood pressure's not anything crazy. I don't have preeclampsia. I don't have any of that. She told me, well, you know, sometimes we just have to mark you like that. Because, you know, you're black and you are a little bit heavier than, I was like 175 pounds. And then, I mean, I did blow up though with Dylan. But coming in, they said my BMI was too high. And mm-hmm. because I'm black, that's, mm-hmm. that was why I was considered high risk. Not because I had any issues, health issues. It was just.
I mean, but you.
I didn't have any health issues.
You didn't have.
I didn't have.
You wasn't labeled as a. What's the word I'm looking for? With the hypertension or whatever.
No. They put it as that because of that one day, the day that they induced me. My blood pressure was high-ish, not even high. My blood pressure, I don't even know how to read it, but I know everyone's like, is your blood pressure normally this low? Or is it normally like this chill? Like, it's the same every single time. Mm-hmm. I personally would never think of it. But there was the one day I went, I had eggplant parm. Me and my brother went out and just had the day because I was like, this baby's not coming. I don't understand. I had eggplant parm salty from Olive Garden with the salad and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I had, what else did I had a lot of like not good stuff that day. And then they considered me to have hypertension because my blood pressure went up like 3 points or whatever. So then there she's like, you know what? We got to induce you. That's it. You're 2 weeks over. Your blood pressure's too high. And then the nurse took it and she was like, it's not that high. But, you know, she already put your orders to go into the hospital or whatever. And I said, oh, okay. Like, when? And she was like, now. And I was like, I didn't even eat. Like, I ate chicken parm for lunch, but I didn't eat dinner. So that's something that I'm just like, okay. But anyway, took us a while to have Dylan. Went in, what, Thursday? Came out Saturday. This is my first baby, y'all. When I tell you, it was all cool, like when we were in the hospital and stuff. But then when they're like, yeah, you can go home. I was like, go home? With what? This baby? I'm not taking this baby home. This baby ain't for my, like, what? I gotta take care of this baby for real, for real? I think I have that every time we have babies. I'm like, take it home? Go home? Mm-mm-mm. It was cute and all, but I like babysitting them, whatnot. But, I don't know. It was just really hard. And then getting adjusted, I think that was the hardest for me. Mm. Having everything so fast, being a wife, thinking that I had to do these outrageous wifely duties because I don't know what a healthy marriage looks like. So, of course, I'm trying to make sure I don't have the arguments and make sure I don't have all the sad parts of the marriage. But then I overcompensate. And then seeing how my family, they're so subservient to men. That I was doing that, and it would make me so tired. Like, I don't like it.
When were you doing that?
I gotta cook you dinner. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And it got to a point where you're like, no, you don't. Remember? When I was like, I need to cook this dinner. I need to do. And remember, actually, I was making pasta. And the sink had dishes in it. And I kind of just like moved the dishes around to pour the pasta into the strainer. I remember, and it burned me real bad. That was the day that you were just like, what are you doing? And I was like, you're coming home. And like all this stuff, hyperventilating. I was like, you're coming home. You need to come home to a cooked meal and blah, blah, blah. And you were like, no, I don't. I could have done that for you. And I was like, no, because it's my job. And da 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 da. And blah, 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 blah.
So it was a very unique situation back then, right? Because I think I remember we were in the, we were in the apartment.
No, at what that point, this? That point we were already, when Dylan was born, we were in that house on base.
Okay.
And that's where that happened on base. But I know where you're going with this, the apartment one. Go for it. So I could chew you up. Go ahead.
What were you about to say?
When you used to come home and be like, you didn't cook? Wait, what?
No, see?
Oh, okay. All
See,
right. Well, I'm gonna take it back then.
I'm talking about how you put, just like you were saying, with the emphasis and the anxiousness on certain things, right? So you were being anxious about cooking dinner, but there were still dishes in the sink.
Oh yeah, I don't do dishes.
And that's the thing that blows my
I
mind.
don't do
Like,
them dishes, no.
you don't freak out about it now, but you used to freak out about clothes not being done. But then
Because
you would do them.
I
Like,
sure wouldn't.
what is this?
Because it's that internal battle.
You
When I
talking about
tell
being
you,
subservient, but there was some things you just did not do.
when I tell
Like.
you, okay. I had it very nice growing up with my dad always doing our laundry, no matter what. It got to the point where it was like, hurry up, take them clothes off because I'm washing clothes. I'm doing colors right now. Or I'm doing whites, take this off. Go ahead. And it would be washed, folded, and put on my bed. Okay? That was one thing that my dad had control of in the house, was the laundry.
One thing my
I
dad had
kid you not.
control of.
Because my mom controlled everything in the home. That was her. She has, like, my mom has to be in control at all times. And if she doesn't, she either catches an attitude and goes in her room, or she acts like it's okay, but then she'll still try to kind of like control it. And then we're like, okay, calm down. Okay, relax. So that's why I was that way. You could look at me however.
Was that
I don't even do that no more.
you? Oh, okay.
I want to say the last time I did something like that to that extreme was Dylan's first birthday. To where I had to actually control that situation, and I wasn't even able to enjoy my child's first birthday. You get what I'm saying? His second birthday, when we had it at the gymnastics place, I was just late. I was running late. And that's why I was like freaking out. Because like people are gonna be here, and I don't even have the stuff ready. How about that? I don't even have the stuff ready. So that. And then I was able to play with them. Granted, I couldn't do too much because I was pregnant with Maya. But I was able to play and take the pictures and, see Dylan have fun with his friends and then mingle with everybody else. But his first birthday, I literally was like, because I wanted everything to be perfect because every party had to be perfect, and you had to have a host, you had to have a DJ, you had to have this.
Had to.
In my family, I kid you not. And guess who would be all of those people? Me. And if I, for one second, didn't help set up, or I didn't, schmooze the way that they wanted me to, it would
Smooth.
always be like, Lisa, you're just so lazy. No, I'm not. I just want to enjoy this party. I want to sit down. But anywho, that's where that comes into play with my husband and I. And it was just so hard. And I think I would beat myself up because I wasn't, in my mind, fulfilling the wifely duties, quote unquote, with the cooking and the cleaning. And then half of me was like, bro, F this. This is my house. I don't want to clean all the time. Yeah, so what if the dishes are there? It's all right.
It's not even all the time, though. I think I said this to your cousin too. It's if you let it pile up, like it gets overwhelming. And we talked about that before, about it getting overwhelming. And it's not even, well, I guess in some sense it is all the time, right? Because you do a little bit here, you do a little bit there, But it's not like a deep clean every day, which is I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, why am I doing all of this? And I think that spilled over into our actual relationship. Because I felt like I had to do all of the taking care of Dylan, and then all of the housework, and then all of the other stuff.
When did you feel like you had to take care of Dylan?
I said I felt like I had to do all of the taking care of Dylan, because in my brain, as.
That must have lasted for like a week,
Oh my
'cause
God. It's a joke. I'm trying to be serious right now, bro. Dizam. That ain't last for no full week. With Amaya, it did, because I
I
said,
think
you know what?
wait. The reason why I say that is because I really wanted to talk about that difficult time that we had with Dylan whenever we got him home. Like it was something else. Like you hear from time to time with different married couples and different marriage shows, people talk about the difference in expectations that you have, going into it, and I think that was the first time when it was like a very different set of expectations. Because the initial time when you were talking about, what kind of wife I should be, I mean, you saying that about yourself. During that time, I wasn't having those differences in expectations. Like I wasn't stressed out about what type of husband I need to be at that time. But whenever we got Dylan home, that was like the first time it was just like, whoa, like why is she expecting me to, like, oh man. So we have very different ideas of how the first, what, month, 2 months, 3 months, however long you want to call it, with Dylan should go. With her, it was just like, yo, we both needed to attack this at the same time. And I'm like, no.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
So the one argument or disagreement or whatever you want to call it that I remember vividly was when you like wanted me up
When I was up?
every time you was up.
Yes, damn it. Come up, everybody up.
And I was like,
Shit.
no. We were told, I don't know how many times, sleep when you can. And then both of y'all don't need to be awake at the same time. Like someone literally said that to us.
Yeah, but this is my thing. As a new mom,
That's a new.
as a first time mama, you want your baby to, you don't want your baby to cry. You don't want any of that. You don't
Yeah,
want
and
your baby to feel like you're not there. And
that's totally understandable.
and I already told you the issue was because I did not have my children vaginally, internally, I felt like I had to go above and beyond to help them
And
and bond with me,
that's cool.
which is not even the case. Like, I
That's
don't know why I
cool.
was even thinking like that,
Yeah,
because
yeah,
them
yeah.
little crumb snatchers don't leave me alone.
But even though you were thinking like that, right? You put the expectation on me to be like that. And I'm
Yes,
just
you
like,
needed
yo, I'm like, yo. Like, I'm here.
I would be
I haven't
so
went anywhere. Like,
mad.
I'm here.
I would be so mad when you would be able to go sit down. And like I said, I put it on myself, but like when you would go in the garage and play your video games, you know how many times I envision just driving and crashing into your TV so that you had no video games because I couldn't do nothing.
Yo,
Like, I
I
think
already fe I felt it then, and I kind of feel it now. Like, you just don't like me playing video
No,
games.
I don't care about the video games, to be honest
Oh,
with you. I really don't.
okay.
What I right now, if we're gonna be right now, telling truth right now,
Telling the truth right
what I
now.
don't like is when you're like, I can't get this stuff done because I gotta work. I gotta work. But I've been home for a couple days and I ain't see you work. I saw you work for 2 minutes. You was on a call. And what happened? soon as you're done with that, you go in the garage.
2 minutes, after the garage,
you go and you play your game.
2 minutes, she says.
Literally. He don't spend no 8 hours. He acts like he works dumb hard every day, bro.
So, let's really talk about this.
You know what I mean?
Because when I was in the garage, I was making her these doors, right, for a cabinet. There's only so much you can do after you paint a door. Like, you can't go back in the garage and work.
But you still had a work day, though. Right. And when you, when I was gone.
Oh, my goodness.
No, no, no. When I was gone to work.
Oh, my goodness.
And the kids, you was like, I can't. No, no, no. Even before, the kids were still going to school. And you was like.
The kids were still going to school.
They were going to school. This is right before you pulled them out. They were going to school. And I was like, oh, babe, why can't you do this? Why can't you do this? Like, with the credenza, because you started off rip. Like, you was pow, 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 knocking it out. And then all of a sudden, work stops.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, why can't you just finish it? Babe, I work, too, you know? I work.
Yeah.
I got to go to work.
And I was working. And I was working. See,
anyway.
See, no, 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 no. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. We got a little bit more time left. And I want to get this all the way out there, right? Because I'm teleworking right now because of COVID.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally doing conference calls and stuff. And I legit had a conference call for 4 hours.
I remember you told me.
I'm still at work, right? And if she's honest with herself, when she's at work, she's not working the entire time.
Oh, you tripping on fofo, bro.
She says I'm tripping, and everybody is like this, which is understandable. And because I work manpower is something that we have an eye for, and we catch. Like when you're at work for 8 hours a day, you're not literally working 8 hours a day. There's other things that you're doing. Like, there's no way anybody can do that all the time, right? So there's time that you got to take lunch. You know, if you want to have a snack at your desk, if you want to decompress from a phone call that you were just on.
Oh,
if
you're talking bullcrapping, literal.
Baby,
minutes.
Literally, yes. That's what I said. That's what I said to you in the literal sense. If I'm at home, I can literally work straight for, you know, an hour, 2 hours at home. Like you can literally do that. And that is almost as much work as you would do in an 8 hour day because you're working straight through
with no interruptions.
So and then that's one side of it, right? Flip back to the other side of it, because she talked about when she was, you know, actually working full time and stuff like that. I never bring up what she's doing, what she's not doing, being, for lack of a better term, judgmental about what she's doing.
But since we're
being 100, since we're being 100, right? There were so many times when she didn't have a job at all. Mm-hmm. Like not. We're not talking about teleworking or anything.
Yeah, no.
She was in between jobs, and when I tell you, this girl was just hanging out with her friends. Not even chores around the house. Not even a little bit. She didn't touch nothing. And then she want to come at me.
Ain't nobody coming at you.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
No.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
This is one of those things. Again, we're being 100, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
It is so irritating to me when you think I can get woodworking done in 30 minutes or an hour.
Why you be talking like you?
No. I can get it done if I'm working at it, right? If I'm working at it. That's just like me over your shoulder every time you working on your Cricut machine. Are you done yet? Are you not done?
Oh,
what are you doing? What are you doing? I never question what you're doing. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why ain't this done?
Okay.
Why ain't you doing it? Like, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. All
right. It always got to hit me. Okay. I always got to come for my neck.
Ain't nobody coming for your neck. Ain't nobody coming for your neck. I'm just letting you know. When you run this back.
When you run this back, you low key coming for my neck. Right now,
we jumping ahead. Okay?
How?
Because you wasn't teleworking when we had Dylan. So let's go back.
How, We got on this subject. No. Okay.
Anyway.
Run it back.
Anyway. I don't even remember. Oh, the expectations. Okay. So because I didn't have my kids vaginally, I felt like I did a dishonor to them. And I wasn't really a quote-unquote mom. So that was my internal battle. So I felt like I had to make sure they didn't want for nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I breastfed both of my kids while I still am with Amaya. But, yo. I'm a
not, yo. But only because you were going that hard with Dylan. You were going that hard with Dylan. And I said this before. We said it, you know, without being recorded or whatever. It was a whole lot more difficult with him, like up and down, from my perspective with you.
What do you mean?
Like, it was hard being with you when you were pregnant with Dylan. When you were pregnant with Maya, like, it was a lot different.
Because, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. I've already had body issues, and then all of a sudden my body is expanding like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I used to suck in my stomach when I was pregnant with Dylan.
I don't know why.
Well, because I was used to sucking in my stomach any other time. And it's just habit. Mm-hmm. Because you have these body issues, you want to appear to be either skinny or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the trend is at the time. But when I became pregnant with Dylan, I was I didn't like what I was seeing when I was transforming. So not when you have the big, big belly, but that weird, that like, are you pregnant or you just got a beer belly? Like that phase, I hated it the most. So mm-hmm. I would suck in my stomach. I would mm-hmm. tighten up my abs mm-hmm. just so that I didn't look that bad. But then it got to the point where I was like, I would do it. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? I have a baby in here. Like, there's days that I correct myself from it because I know I need to break that. You know what I'm saying? I mm-hmm. need to break that, that idea, those thoughts. So there's days that I looked at myself and I'm like, dang, I'm a really cute pregnant girl. And there's days that I look at myself and I'm like, oh, you're so disgusting. Like, and then, like, once I dropped, well, once I had Dylan, I gained, what, 67 pounds, 60, 80. I was 170 when I had, like, when we found out we were pregnant. And then I jumped up to 236. Yo. I was eating swell. Anything I wanted, I ate. And I gained so much with Dylan. So between the ideas of having to be this wife, this weird idea of being this super wife, on top of being pregnant, on top of having body issues and depression, it was hard. And I said to myself, I kid you, and I think I wrote it down in one of the little journals. I always buy journals. I start them. I never finish them.
Finish them.
I never, like...
I thought no, it was just like, supposed to be, like, your...
Forever things?
Your thoughts.
Bro, like, I'll start, like, 2 pages in, and I'm like, I don't feel like it no more. The extra. Anyway.
I don't think you can finish, like, if you're writing a journal.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. But I said to myself, and I was like, Liz, if you have another baby, don't do this to yourself. Don't beat yourself up so much. Love mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. Take it easy. Like, enjoy your pregnancy. I enjoyed being pregnant with Amaya.
Did you?
I did. Mm. I loved it. I was ginormous, but I enjoyed it way more than I enjoyed with Dylan. Mm. Because I loved watching my belly grow. I loved feeling her move. I loved going to the doctors and they say, wow, she's a big girl. Yes, I want my baby to be big and healthy and strong and all of the above. And yes, I'm trying to be as cute as I possibly can. And I was all belly, y'all, with Amaya. All belly. Jeez Louise, my belly was ginormous. And I would never, like, realize how big my belly was, because it's mine, you know, you walk around, whatever, you learn how to swing that thing. But it's just like, I look at pictures now and I was like, wow, no wonder why people were looking at me crazy. And I would jump up and start like trotting down the hallway. I was like, you're all right. I did water aerobics. I did, you know, all of that stuff. Because I wanted to have a healthier pregnancy. I wanted to have a vaginal birth. I opted in for a VBAC, a vaginal birth after cesarean. I was taking all sorts of classes. I became a doula, helped other people with their lactation. Like, I learned so much of the things that I didn't like when I was pregnant with Dylan, and how they talked to me, and how, you know, how the nurse practitioner just came in and was like, well, we're going to just cut you open, so it is what it is. That, if I would have known I had different choices then I probably would have went a different route. Mm-hmm. But when you're scared and you're nervous and it's your first baby, and it's just like, okay, yes, ma'am, I'll do whatever you say, ma'am. No, I wish somebody was in the room with me and was like Brandy was there, but we were all so exhausted. Like, we were there from Thursday to Saturday, no baby. So we're all exhausted. I'm crying, you crying. I'm mad at y'all because y'all got Pizza Hut. Y'all had Pizza Hut. I could smell it. Kenny was there. Like, it was a lot. But I've learned from that. And when I got pregnant with Amaya, granted, in the beginning, I was like, what the fuck? What the entire fuck, bro? Like, why are we having another baby? Do you remember when I told you we were pregnant?
With Amaya? Uh-huh. No.
I literally... Because, okay, I went out with some of my girlfriends, and we were having a great time. And I drank a lot. And I was just like, man, either these drinks are weak, or my tolerance just shot through the roof. Like, this is crazy. And I was like, that's weird. That's weird. Anyway, go on about my business. And something just said, oh, no, I went to Walmart in the middle of the night with one of my girlfriends, and we were like, pregnancy test, two for a dollar, or buy one, get one, whatever it was. So we like bought them all, and she was like, I'm scared to take one, let's take it together. And I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that, because if I'm pregnant or you're pregnant, I'm gonna be mad. So I come home and I took a test, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I just took it and I was just like, what? I said, what? And then I threw it in the trash and I got in the bed. You were already in the bed. And got in the bed and I was like, we're pregnant. And you were like, what? You didn't move. You didn't flick the covers. You didn't turn no lights on. You were just like, what? And I was like, we're having a baby. And you were like, okay. And then you went, I guess you drifted back to sleep. And then you, like, rolled over and you're like, I get to name this one. And I was like, I threw the covers on me. I was like, I don't even care. I was pissed. So pissed. But then I knew we were having another boy. I knew all this stuff. Wrong. We're having a little girl. I told a lady to look at the screen, like, 20,000 times. I told her to look at the screen. I was like, look at it again, whatever. But anyway.
Man, I so wanted two heartbeats.
Yo, this ain't happening. And this is why we're not having it anymore. But anyway, get back to
Dylan. No, I already know we're not having no more. I don't want you to have no more.
He wants twins so
I wanted bad. Twins.
Imagine so if bad. We would have had twins. Amaya's like twins.
We would have been adjusted by now.
Anyway. So back to Dylan. When Dylan was like 3 months-ish, yeah. He was with July, August, September. Yeah, he was like 3 months. I booked a ticket to go home and never come back.
Hear that? Hear that, y'all?
to the point where I was in my head a lot. I was battling my own self and you because I was jealous of you. I was upset.
I never thought you were jealous.
I was very jealous of you because you didn't have to take care of the same way I had to take care of this child. I actually had to physically pump milk from my body and then feed him. And it was never really a good, in my brain, there was never really a good time to give the bottle because I was overproducing. And it would be so painful. And then pumping is not fun. And I don't want to sit there. I want to lay down. I'm tired. And you got to use both of your hands for whatever the fuck you wanted to do. Like, literally. You could literally throw your hands in the air if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. So, and, yeah.
What? Nothing. What?
No, you talking about you jealous of me for that, but then you want to send me to Dylan's room in the middle of the night every night. It was almost like punishment. But anyway,
I think it might have been.
Anyway, you want to send me to Dylan's room every night, and it's like, yo, I have nothing. Like, I can't offer him anything. I got to get the bottle ready. I got to do this. I got to do that. Like, it's a whole setup. Like,
I could do this in the middle of the night, especially when he was on swings. Remember that? Because you would come home at the time that he would wake up. It got to the point where it was like 1 a.m. he'd wake up, 3 a.m. he'd wake up, 5 a.m. he'd wake up, and I'd be pissed between the 1, 3, and 5. But by 7, I was like, it's normal time. It's time to wake up anyway. And then he would sleep 7 to like 10. And he and I would be sleeping in the bed together. And then we'd be up in the day doing all sorts of whatevers. But, like I said, I was so angry because I had to take care of this child. Like, not saying that you weren't helping at all, but it was a physical demand on my body. And it drained me, and it made me so tired, and it made me irritable, and then it made me upset, and then it made me, like, irrational, and then it made me jealous, and then irrational again. There's no way. And like I said, with Amaya, it was completely different. I've gotten to the point where I was like, yeah, go ahead, give her a bottle. Do your thing. I don't care. I'll just be in pain for a little bit more or whatever, you know. But I was so far gone. Like, we saw the therapist. We saw the MFLAC when we were pregnant because of me, like, my issues. And I was just kind of, like, putting them on you. And then there was so much just outside stuff that was just making me more, like, insane. And then I was just like, I got to go home. I'm done. I'm done with this. And I think Malcolm came over that weekend. It was one weekend he came over, and I was like, I booked my ticket. I'm gone tomorrow or something like that. I'm gone in 2 days. Because y'all were playing the video game down there in the garage. Right?
Yeah, because he was still in tech school, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Like, we were in the same area. So.
Right. So, that, like, y'all got to hang out. You guys, you know, were doing your thing, whatever. And I was just like, no. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go home. And I booked a ticket. And I packed up Dylan's stuff and my stuff. And this is right before we were moving to Florida. And I was gone. And halfway through the flight, I was like, what am I doing? And then I had, like, a breakdown. And I had to pull myself together because I also had this little baby with me. And I didn't like myself, and I didn't like what I was doing at the time. And it really bothered me that I was so willing to just be done. You know what I mean? Like, I was complaining it was hard before when I had you home. So what would it look like without the support in the middle of the night. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to Connecticut, and I made up this lie, like, oh, yeah, you know, Andrew's just getting ready for our PCS, and he's doing all this stuff, so I figured I wanted to see you guys before we PCS'd, blah, blah, blah. That was a lie. I just figured I'd go home, and I would, you know, just live at home until my mom got suspicious. And, you know, at least I'd be around family or whatever. But I don't, how did we even make up? I don't even remember, not make up, but like, how did we even start talking? Like, and we came up with a plan to meet in Florida and, you know, fly back to Texas together and then.
No, that's what you said. That's what you said.
No, what I'm saying, like, how did we.
So, when you were talking about going to Connecticut and then going to Florida on like a multi-city plane ticket, that was the plan that you presented to me, and I just said okay, and I wasn't 100% sure if you were even gonna come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because I said it that way, it made me feel a little bit better that, like, that lie. Not, it wasn't a lie. It
wasn't the truth.
It wasn't the truth, but it wasn't a lie. But that made me feel better about leaving. Because I, like, you know how you just, you have to, like, psych yourself up to do certain things? But, like, I did that, and it was, I don't know. It was hard. It was really hard. Like, what were you thinking?
I just said what I was thinking. You know, I didn't know what to think. And you being you, I felt like if I would have stepped to you and asked you straight up, then you would have bucked at me and went through with it.
I don't know if I would have. I don't think I would have.
Mm.
Just for the simple fact that, you know, I always wanted a family of my own, and I've always wanted a marriage that was exemplary to our kids. You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, I've always wanted to have a successful relationship because, I've, like I said before, I've never seen it. So, I don't think I would have gone through with a divorce. And then, it's crazy, but I think about certain things like, what would visitation be like? Like, I gotta fly him to you, or you fly to us, and you stay, or you fly him back. Like, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And in my brain, that's how it was. And I was like, that's too difficult. That's way too difficult. So now I'm sitting here, and I'm like, why am I being so selfish? You know, like, my son needs a dad. I need my husband. Like, why am I doing this to myself? And granted, yes, I had all those hands holding Dylan. But at the end of the day, I was like, ew, y'all got mad germs. Like, uh-uh. Whereas if it were you, I'd be like, that's his dad. I don't even care. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so much hubbub over Dylan that I kept getting into it with my grandma and my mom. I was like, he just got his shots, like, 3 days ago. We don't need all these people in this house. We don't need all of this. We don't need all of that. And then that was conflict right then and there. And I personally just wanted to come home. Because I knew it was quiet. It was my safety net, my bubble. And I knew I wanted to be back with you. As angry as I was. Like, I wanted to be back to my normal. And then we met up in Florida, right? And I think we, like, fought. Not fought, like, argued a little bit at the airport. Because you flew in before me. And it was your job to get the car and the hotel. And be ready for me. And Dylan. Because I had all this stuff with me. And I don't, what was it? You got like this teeniest, tiniest clown car. And I was like, what are you doing? Oh. It was literally like I put the seat all the way back and I was touching the back seat. I literally was like, okay. Like, I'm already mad. I'm mad, it's hot, you know, going down the list or whatever. And then we get to the hotel. And I want to say we had a conversation then. Right? We had the conversation.
I don't know. I can't remember. I feel like if we did have the conversation, we didn't have a real conversation about it. We probably talked around it.
When did we have the real conversation?
Now.
I was gonna say, like, last week. Like,
I don't think we ever really talked about it, honestly.
I want to say we might have.
I think you might have said something. Like, your mom told you to go home.
She did. She was just like, Liz, why are you here?
But other than that.
But no, it was, we did go to the MFLAC again. That guy.
No.
We ended up going to the MFLAC again. And he was talking about stuff, and I was not really following him too much, but he was weird. But anyway.
Go to these professionals. You know what? I don't think the doctor knows what he's talking about, man.
I don't think you're right at all. No. But, like, we went through all of that stuff, and I'm really happy that I didn't leave you.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy too.
Because I wouldn't have my beautiful Amaya papaya now.
Yeah.
And I feel like our relationship now versus our relationship then. Like, if we were to look back and see Liz and Andrew in 2015, we probably would laugh at them. And be like, oh, sweetie, come here. Come here. It's not that serious.
No, I stand by my 2015 self.
Here we go. So.
I tell you what. With me, it's more or less trying to remember to do those things that I said I would. You know, as far as communication, then stuff like that.
Yeah, and likewise, because that was our main issue. We didn't really communicate effectively and efficiently. We would communicate to just literally talk about the weather, talk about the day, da 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 da. But until we got to that point where we were comfortable. To me, I think our communication now is way, 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 way better. Like, I'm really happy on how we communicate, because there are some times that I get passive aggressive, and then there are some times that I'm just like, listen, this, what you're doing right now, I don't like it.
But how could you not?
Yeah, goodbye, y'all. All right. thank you for joining us on this journey. But, like, no, for real. It took me a little bit, but I did a lot of, like, stepping out of myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think another thing that kind of, like, made me, like, jealous of you is that you were so, like, altruistic. Like, you knew yourself, and I didn't know myself. And I wanted to know myself. And it took a while for me to get to know myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wanted to be there already, and you were there. But I still had little Lizzie. I had to deal with her. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had all these preconceived notions and ideas and, you know, what I'm supposed to do and all these weird things that I had to live by that really didn't help. It helped build who I am, but it didn't help build my success or mm-hmm. build towards my success.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was so involved in what everybody else wanted me to be.
Yeah.
That I never got to be. Like, I'm there now. I'm doing what I want to do, and I am who I am. But I was jealous because you had that already.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to tell you how to get there. I feel like everyone knows how to get there, but then they don't take that extra step.
It's uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. And the thing is, it boils down to, if I can make it very oversimplified, it boils down to being completely honest with yourself.
Right.
And then accepting who you are.
Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't honest with myself. I think I started being honest with myself maybe in between having Dylan and Amaya.
Mm.
Like, I literally started being honest with myself. Like, girl, stop playing like you're going to go to the gym. You ain't going to no gym. Girl, you know you don't like working with kids. Stop. You know what I mean? Like, I started doing that. I started challenging myself mentally.
Yeah.
Like, say what you really mean. Say what you really mean. Say what you really mean. Say what you... Like, I was doing that a lot more. But I don't know. It took me a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm there now, and I'm definitely digging who I am now, and I know I could make it, I could be more truthful to myself now and future coming. And I think that's what's going to help me be a better wife and mom and person all around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a good stopping point. Unless you have more to share.
Nah, we've been talking for a minute.
I mean, it was like an hour.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that wraps up the story of us and how we got here and how we are now. How do you think we're doing now?
Well, what kind of scale is this? You know, I'm very technical.
Oh, my God. You know, how do you think we're doing now?
Bean counter over here, you know.
Oh, my goodness. All right, scale 1 to 10. 10 being, like, the best of the best with honors.
Best of the best with honors, huh?
Sir, yeah. And 1 being back in 2015.
I say we're doing 8.
An 8?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. And I don't think we'll ever get to 10.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
Because 10 means there's no more room for progress. And I don't think no one's perfect, so.
I mean...
We're gonna keep striving for 10, but you know, I was gonna say 9, but 8 just sounds better.
I think we're at an 8 too, especially
for different reasons though.
Yes. I think we're at an 8. I think we enjoy each other more.
You know what? We had an 8 because you turned it sideways and it's infinity.
All right, y'all. Thank you for joining us on our journey.
She really loves that one. She's going to be laughing about that for the rest of the night.
No, I'm not.
Put money on it. Take it to the bank.
Anyway.
I'm sure he was working on that one for a long time.
Anyway, guys. This is the story of us. Definitely stay tuned for some more episodes, especially, I guess, our next episode. I might have.
What, featuring me? Give these fine people a break from
your sultry voice. Oh god.
From me.
Anyway, episodes coming up are gonna be great and fun and filled with laughter and all sorts of good feels. So yeah, definitely subscribe.
Definitely.
If you like it, subscribe. And if you really like it, pass it on to other folks.
Yeah, comment.
Comment. Do the things that you're supposed to do with podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I never listen to my podcasts to the point where they start telling people what to do at the end. Like, once they finish the conversation,
it's
a very hard ask. That is. But like, anyway,
we're telling
y'all,
you to, but.
I mean, if you're a fan, do what you gotta do, but subscribe. Okay. Thanks.